All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be with you here again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy to us, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, the things you've provided for us, the opportunities you've given, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be worthy of those things, Father. Be faithful to you. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Forgive us where we fail you, Lord. And again, we just thank you, Lord, that you would give us the things we need, the words to say. Lord, we just ask again your blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Begin in verse 1. Yes, my thought this morning would be with a question is, where is the church? And just put that thought in your mind and then we'll read on here for a minute. They began to speak to them in parables. It said, a man planted a vineyard and put a wall around it and dug a vat under the wine press. And built a tower and rented it out to the vine growers and went on a journey. What I wanted to bring out here in this story or this parable that Jesus taught, this is talking, I think he's implying, for one thing, the main thing is about Israel and how he gave them everything that they needed, and he goes on how they reacted, and whenever the man came back for the fruit, the people sent the guy that they had sent that he had sent to collect. They treated him rough and sent him home. And he sent someone more noble, and they wounded his head and sent him home. Then he said he'd send his son. He's simply going through the history of these people that he had chosen and who he had prepared and done so much for. And he sent prophets to warn them and they killed them or beat them up. And then he sent his own son into the midst. And they killed him. You know, after all the preparation and all the things that he had done, the people didn't thank him for it. They weren't thankful. They didn't recognize that they were here for his sake. And all the while, they were religious, saying that they were serving him, professing that they were his disciples, but yet there was no fruit. There was no evidence of that other than what they were saying. Almost every parable, there's several of them where Jesus talks about the fruit or the tree. That he came seeking fruit. And he said, tear it down. And someone came along and said, well, let me prune it. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Let me take care of it. Again, preparation. What for? Fruit. Expecting fruit to grow. Several different examples in the Bible where Jesus lays out that God has done everything and now is expecting us to take what we've been given and produce fruit from that. You know, we live in a world that is full of the gospel, a gospel, full of gospels, full of Bibles, full of churches, to the point now where it's so confusing in the world that most of the world is just completely given up, especially in countries that basically were founded on some kind of godly principles and godly foundations. You know, the Western countries that's been a lot of the basis of their founding, and they become so full of themselves and full of their doctrines and full of their Bibles and full of all of these different things that the world looks on and sees nothing but absolute, just they see nothing. They see completely through it. And it's no wonder that these countries are now, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, but it's a big percentage of people that out in the world that just look on and say they don't even believe in God anymore. All of the foundations and all the things have been laid, and what was produced is a bunch of religious gobbledygook. Just a bunch of religious nonsense, going from just doctrinal, going from just liberal, going to extremely conservative. It's all just a bunch of religion that if Jesus would enter into the midst of most of these places, some of them wouldn't even let him in the door. You know, they'd just be appalled at him, you know, because he would come in and just with the authority that he spoke, they would just think he was arrogant or prideful and wouldn't have him at all. Some of the conservative places that if he would come in the door, well, you're not a member here. You've got to go through our instruction class and be in there for 6 months and then we'll see. And then, you know, then after a while, well, yeah, we might let you speak. But there'd be no place given of authority. He would just not be accepted. You know, when we think about that, if Jesus was here today, where would he be? Would he be accepted? You know, in a lot of places, they'd find fault with him right away. We have all these examples of that's how he was whenever he came to the Jewish people or the Israelites, and he came into his own, but his own received him not. I just often think about that today. You know, if he came to the church today, his own, how many places would he feel comfortable in? How many places would he be welcomed? You know, and I think there would be probably pretty few. I think we'd be surprised how few places that would be. So it's all kind of happened again. You know, they tell us that history, those that don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. You know, it seems like those that know their history are doomed to repeat it too. We just keep doing the same old things over and over again. Somehow thinking that we're better than that, or we're above that, or, you know, whatever we might think. The point is God has prepared everything that we need. You know, the parable we talked about a few weeks ago, or have talked about the man with the talents, the one that was given 10, and the one was given five. They went out and did something with what God had gave them. But then that one, he took what God gave him and he buried it. You know, we think that's a pretty shrewd move, maybe. No, the man thought that of himself. You know, I'm going to protect this. And he went and buried it. When the master came back, he doubled everyone else. Someone that went out and did with what they were given, he went and doubled it. But then come to that guy that hid it, who thought he had done so well by just keeping it. He took it away from him and had him bound hand and foot and cast him out with the unbelievers. Punished him. Told him he was a slothful and wicked servant. You know, it's amazing how cloudy things become, how confused things become. When something is so right and it's right in front of our eyes, but there's such a fog and such a cloud in front of it that you see the truth and it somehow becomes, well, that can't work. That can't be right. But yet, that's the way it is. I mean, I don't know how many things we see that are going on that it ought to be exactly opposite, obvious of the way we ought to see things and the people that are promoting the wrong and the evil, they've got a loud, strong voice, and everybody's just afraid to say anything or oppose them. And because we're a little bit, you know, I don't know if we see this quite right or not. They sound pretty convinced of what they're doing and they're teaching. And yet, you just look at the scriptures and you really take back and, well, it's obvious. You know, just for an example here, so many people that this idea, this thought that we can do nothing, that we're so helpless, so worthless, that Jesus is just going to save us, and then all our best and highest thought is just to say, Lord, I can do nothing, and I'm just going to lay here and do nothing, and that is going to bring you glory, and that's going to bring you honor. And we believe that. You know, that sounds humble. That sounds good. But yet, every time we read anything in the scriptures, Jesus hates that. He condemns that. And tells us, I have given you everything you need. I have given you the opportunity. I've given you the freedom. I've given you the power, the ability, the strength. Everything is right at your hands. And you say, oh Lord, I can do nothing. Oh, I'm so weak. I'm going to bring honor to you. And I'm going to bring glory to you by doing absolutely nothing. And saying, it's you that's causing it. When you look at that, it's just complete foolishness to think that way. And yet, if you tell the world that they've got to behave themselves or they've got to do something before they can be children of God, they scoff at you. They beat you down. They run you down. You know, it's just they tell you that you're full of good works, which are awful. They say, which is exactly opposite of what the scriptures talk about too, about we're going to be judged by our works and by our efforts. And on the other hand, you have people that say, well, okay, it says this, 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 and this, and I'm going to live within that regiment of laws or that regiment of rules. There's a sign down the road, can you name 10 of Christ's commands, implying that if you're not doing Christ's commands, that you can't love God. You can't do all of those things. And just a regiment of doing the rules of Jesus. And it is so akin to the Israelites or the Jewish people of the time that were keeping these laws right down to the, in fact, adding to them. They were so strict. They were just keeping them, so bent on keeping them, that when Jesus came in their midst, they didn't even know who he was. In fact, they wanted to kill him because he was stirring problems up and giving them a hard time. Jesus is looking for people who will serve him. Not trying to find a way to just cover all the bases. He wants someone who will hear his voice and do his will. You know, I think back whenever I was converted, I didn't know all the teachings of Jesus. Whenever I began to read the Bible, I didn't understand them all. But when I began to read it with an honest heart and try to find the answers and find the truth of what was missing, what was wrong with me, not just trying to find a new doctrine or something, but what's the problem here? And the Lord put his finger on a place or two and said, right here's the problem. And it wasn't just because of they were his ways. It was because those things is what it was that keeping me from surrendering my will to his. He put his finger on the point in my will that I wouldn't give up, that I didn't want to surrender. And he said, that's what I want. I tried to be religious. I studied more and I did all kinds of things. I sought for months. And every time it just kept coming back to, right here's what I want. You know, I got more doctrinally correct. I got more learned in the Bible. I got more regular at church and doing all those things. But every time I came back to, this is what I want. And it wasn't until I finally just gave up and surrendered. Not my will, but thine be done. Whatever it is, Lord, it's yours. And when that happened, there was a change taking place. That's called real repentance. You know, I could have gone down the list and said, okay, I need to quit doing this and start doing this and quit doing this and start doing this, stop doing this, right on down the row, and just become the best Pharisee that is available. But that doesn't make us a disciple. That doesn't make us a Christian. A Christian is whenever we face ourselves and we find that area where we make Jesus our Lord. That's all there is to it. Repent and believe the gospel is change lordship. And start following this man. Not just all the teachings of the top. Teachings are right and they're good. And they're a breakdown of loving our neighbor as ourself. They're just a few more details on that. Of loving our neighbor as ourself. Loving God with our whole heart. Surrendering our will to his will. Letting him be our king and our master. That's what he's looking for. Someone who's willing to take what he's given. If you have to hear it, we didn't earn that. We didn't do anything to be worthy of his gifts. But we are responsible for those gifts that he gives us. We are responsible by every account that he gives. He gives people something. He builds a tower, a place for the wine fat. He builds the irrigation systems. He waters. He plants. He does everything that we can't do. And then he gives it to us. And we take that and say, well, you did all of that, and I didn't have a thing to do with it. I'm not going to do anything else, because I'll be taking glory from you. And he condemns that thought every time we see it. He has given us everything. And then he says, now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? You didn't deserve what I'm giving you, but at least appreciate what I've been giving you and take it and do something good with it. You know, we've spent many, many years kind of untangling a lot of this stuff, thinking that we're really doing something here, really doing something there, and running with it. And you know, I think God, if even though we made a lot of mistakes, I'd rather make all kinds of mistakes appreciating what we've been given and trying to do something with it than just burying it, pretending like that there's nothing I can do. You know, if we're taking what he's given and trying to do something with it, God can steer a car that's rolling. He can't do nothing with a car that's just sitting there with the emergency brake on, not going anywhere. But if you will just put the thing in drive and say, God, here we go. You guide my life. You know, like I said, we've made plenty of mistakes. But all we've tried to do is just do what we're supposed to do with what's right in front of us, taking the next step and going on. Taking what we've been handed, trying to reach out, trying to do things that we're supposed to be doing, and sometimes you get trying to guide, you know, guided, and it takes us a while, but we say, okay, maybe that's not the direction he wants to go. We're going this way, and let him guide us as we go. But he does expect us to do something. That gets us back to, where is the church? What is the church? Where is it? You know, I don't know how many people have asked. You know, almost every time anybody comments to us, well, is there a church like that around here where I live? Is there one of those? You know, do you have groups other places that near in my area that I could be a part of? And I usually have to say, no, I really don't know of any. I don't know how many people have said, would you come here and plant a church for us here? Would you come and put a church where I live? Now, I don't know how many times I've told them, no, you're there. You be the church. You know, we didn't, whenever we started out here, this is not what we intended. We tried to be a part of different groups, tried hard, did whatever we thought we needed to. Did things that we thought were unnecessary. But it wasn't until they wouldn't let us do a few things that we knew that God wanted us to do that we were separated from them. And we just kind of wound up on our own. That's where we began to learn some of these things. You know, if there isn't a group where you're at, that didn't change who I was. That didn't change my desire to follow the Lord right where I was. You know, whenever I surrendered to the Lord, I wasn't in the middle of a church anywhere. I was actually driving around town. I was driving, praying, whenever I gave everything to the Lord. And to be honest with you, almost every church that I had talked to, every religious person, that everyone actually, that I talked to or could find or read about, was telling me to do exactly opposite of what the Lord was telling me to do. So I didn't find the Lord because of a church. I found the Lord in spite of Him. And then, when I just started going to church, well, right away, I was being told, you can't do anything to earn your salvation. You've got to do it. You've got to just, same old stuff. Then getting to other places that I thought was doing right. Well, you got to do it this way, and you got to have this rule, and you got to have that rule, and you got to do it just so. And that wasn't working either. It's being that God is looking for. You know, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, this is one of the places that he was talking. And he, at the end of it, he said, whenever they was asking him who he was, and he referred to himself as the I Am. Right after that, it says they took up stones and wanted to stone him for being the I Am. Because that was a direct reference to him being God in the flesh. I am that I am. I am. You know, I've thought about that. I am. That's who he is. He's just, I am. And he's prepared everything for us to be. To be. Not I was, or I want to be, but to be. He's given us everything we need to be a Christian. To be a disciple. He's the I Am. We are to be. We are responding. We are being what he wants us to be. We're human beings. That very idea of being what we're supposed to be. You know, that's what I've been telling people for years in these places that want a church. You are there. You be the church. You be what you're supposed to be. Well, we don't have a building. We met in a tire shop the first few times that we met together. Well, we don't have a lot of us. Well, you know, there was a long time that I felt like I was all by myself. Everybody that I was friends with thought I'd lost my marbles. But that didn't change me wanting to be what God wanted me to be. If we will be what we're supposed to be, Right there's the heart of the church. That's who the church is. That's the real church. And if you find a group of people that are willing to be what they're supposed to be, and they get together and they have fellowship and they have communion around the I Am and us being what we want to be, that is the church, the glorious church. We look at all the specks in history where there were movements of the church coming out of nowhere. It's all examples of just someone being what they're supposed to be. Finding other people just being what they're supposed to be. And it just, there's just life there. It's just a blessing. It's being what we're supposed to be. We have people that are in little groups that are struggling and they want more. You know, they want to have a better church. People are looking for the perfect church, so they're always just out searching all over for the perfect church. And my advice to them, to any of us, you be what you're supposed to be. And it's amazing how the church begins to improve around you whenever you just be what you need to be. You know, we told just, I think, last week about the young people. You know, it's the same principle through all of this. You want to get married. You want to find the perfect wife. You know how you find the perfect wife? You be the perfect husband. Potential right now. You be the perfect young man that you're supposed to be right now. You be the godly young man that wants to follow Jesus and live for Him and let God do the rest of it. You be what you're supposed to be. And there will be somebody somewhere else, some girl somewhere that wants to be the best wife she can be. The godliest young lady that she can be. It just goes on and on. See, the principle here that God has laid down, I'm giving you this, and I want you to be. You be. You want a good family when you get older? You be the best child in a family that you can be. You be what you're supposed to be. That's not a guarantee. I'm not promising everything's going to be roses. But if you are what you are supposed to be, you'll be able to take it. You'll be able to handle it. You'll be able to find that person that might not be perfect, but you'll be able to handle them. You'll be able to nurture them. You'll be able to be what you're supposed to be. And you'll be able to love them. Because no matter what the little storybooks may tell you, the perfect church that's conjured up in your imagination doesn't exist. Neither does the perfect wife. Neither does the perfect husband. None of those exist. Only in when you are being what you're supposed to be. But when you are what you're supposed to be, then you can be the patience, you can be the love, you can be the giver, you can be the receiver, you can be whatever it is that you need to be, because you're being what you're supposed to be. You may be the one that gets all the trouble. You may be the one that's always in the trouble. You may be the one smoothing things out. You may be the one getting smoothed out. But if you're trying to be what you're supposed to be, you can make it work. Because you'll have what you need, just like we've all been given everything we need. Be a Christian. And you're at the very heart of being a church. It might not look like the Sunday morning gathering that we all come and hear a preacher preach and sing a song or two and have wonderful fellowship, because we might be all by ourselves for a long, long, long time. But you just keep being. Talking to people maybe beyond my sight here, out in the world, that are looking for a church, longing for some fellowship. You be what you need to be. You be that fellowship. You be that disciple. It's there. You might not see it, but you can be it. Don't be afraid to make a mistake once in a while. Just be willing to be guided a little bit along the way. Don't be afraid to kick the car down and drive and say, "I don't know where I'm going, Lord. I'm going. You guide me." And like I said, that road is full of a lot of things that, boy, I wish I wouldn't have went down that road. But be willing to back up and turn around. Be what God wants you to be. And you can. It's in your power. It's in our power. May God add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to comment or share?
Your description about the vineyards and how He prepared it and went on and expected us to continue on. Made me think about Paul Harvey, when he said the man went out to the west and got out there and said, "Thank you, Lord. I'll take it from here."
Amen.
I like to add to that. He made it for us. We can do something.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, Lord bless y'all. We'll meet back here at 6 o'clock, or did you decide?
I'd like to have a lark player.
Okay.
It's going to be kind of warm, but I think it'll work. Yeah, if we could have a lark player, it's going to be
awesome. Okay. Be at Hans's. Need directions. Get it from him. So. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace.